Take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. I haven't preached for so long I forgot how to, but we'll try to get... Thanks for the vote of confidence. He'll come back. It's like riding a bike.
Ernest is your biggest fan.
He was until something happened Thursday. What I want you to take from this is that God desires to minister through his people, but don't be selective to who you minister to. If God is opening doors and you're fighting against it, you're not going to win. Somebody said God doesn't make you go against your will, he just makes you willing to go. And so we come to a place where Christ's crucifixion, his resurrection, and the baptism in the Holy Spirit was never intended to just be for a certain race of people. How many of you ever heard somebody say, well, that's a white man's gospel? I'm not sure Jesus was white. Fact is, I have more faith that he wasn't. And so God had to break down some traditions, even some of the Old Testament commandments, even what Jesus said. You say, well, wait a minute now. How many remember Jesus saying, go to the household of the Jews? Don't go preach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just go to the Jewish people. In fact is, when the Syrophoenician woman came to him, he said some things that weren't too politically correct. How many know what I mean? And the story today, the lesson today, God opened the gospel up to the whole world. You cannot legitimately say, after hearing the message today, that the gospel is only for a certain select group of people. You have to be confronted with the concept that this gospel is for everyone. And that this gospel message is the only way to get to God the Father. A lot of people have made up their own ways to get to God. It doesn't work. You will also see that God answers prayer of the sinner. That God hears the prayers of the sinner. And you'll see how he responds to that. In Acts chapter 10, I'm just going to read a few verses and we're going to jump through the chapter. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. Let me tell you something to start with. How many of you ever heard of Jesus in Caesarea? Jesus spent quite a bit of time there. Matthew 16, where he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He was in Caesarea. It could be possible. I'm not saying I have no evidence. It could be possible that Cornelius rubbed shoulders with Jesus in Caesarea. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea, and he will tell you what you must do." And when the angel had spoken to him and departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all things to them, he sent them to Joppa. You know, when you have a vision, an angel comes, God speaks to you, it's good to be obedient. Huh? Amen? The next day they went on their journey and drew near the city. Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they bade ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. How many like to go to that restaurant? I've been to a lot of restaurants, but I was never intentionally served creeping things. Sometimes they showed up, but it wasn't part of the menu. And a voice came from heaven saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." You ready for lunch? And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven. Now while Peter wondered within himself about this vision, which he had seen what this vision meant, behold, men who had been sent from Cornelius and had made inquiry for Simon's house stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, and go down. Go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." As we look at this, we realize that Cornelius was a devout or a pious man or a religious man. He was a man who feared God, and not only did he fear God, but he had taught his household to fear God. The Bible says he was a generous man. He gave alms to the people. But there was something lacking in the life of Cornelius. He needed an encounter with God. An encounter, I believe, as I read the story, that he was desperate for. He was desperate for. And so as he did daily, he went up to pray. And as he's praying, an angel comes. And he says something very interesting, because he said, "Your prayers and your alms have come before God." And because they had come before God, God dispatched the angel to tell Simon or tell Cornelius what to do. I've heard people say, "Well, God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners." If he didn't hear the prayers of sinners, how could you ever be saved? I want you to understand something. Cornelius wasn't born again. As I read this, but he was hungry. And as he was hungry, God responded to his hunger. I want you to look at what God's doing at COC. It's not something unique. It's not something that's never happened, but he's responding to your hunger. I've been asking God for a deeper walk in the Holy Spirit. There are people that may look at you and think you don't amount to anything, but God doesn't look that way at you. God is listening to your prayers. He knows your heart cry. He wants to meet with you. He wants to touch. It doesn't matter what you've been. Either the blood of Jesus can cleanse every sin or it can't cleanse any sin. And God is moving and ministering and touching and looking to help you. I wrote something on Facebook today last week as we talk about ministering. There's sometimes God will send flesh and blood to minister to you, a person. There are times like Cornelius, an angel will come to minister to you. But as you call out to God and ask God for direction and ask God for help and ask God to minister to you, the Holy Spirit will come always. That's why we talked earlier about seeing through God's eyes, not through your own. God wants to see people turn from being lost to being found, being turned from death to life, being turned from darkness to light. He wants to see people's lives change with a God encounter that radically shakes up the programs. And today's the day. You can have all kinds of excuses why you don't need a God encounter, or why you think God doesn't love you, or God hasn't answered your prayer, or this thing happened to your life, or that thing happened to your life. But we need to stay in a place like Cornelius and praying daily and saying, God, there's more. And there is more. But for this encounter to happen, God had to change the minister. Somebody should have said amen. Yeah. You kind of missed. Andy did. I see that hand, brother. Come on down. We'll pray for you. So, the angel tells Cornelius, send men, look for Simon. He's staying at Simon Tanner's house in Joppa. And so Cornelius didn't waste any time. He didn't say, you know, a little bit like Jason said, well, I'll do it tomorrow or the next day or something else. He got the men on the road. He explained to them what had to happen. Peter goes up to pray. Got hungry. And all of a sudden, he starts having visions. Men and women, it's a good time to have a vision if you're young. If you're old, like some of us, we see dreams. Book of Joel. Last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will see dreams, and your young men will have visions. So as Peter's up there, he sees this sheet coming down. You know, God has some pretty unique methods. Pretty unique methods. So on the sheet are all kinds of unclean animals, creeping things, all the stuff a good Jewish boy wouldn't eat. Could have been a pig on there. Could have been a rabbit on there. I was muskrat hunting. Could have been a muskrat on there. Anyway, on the sheet were the things that, some of the things Peter shouldn't eat. And so the Lord tells him, rise, kill, and eat. And Peter says, no, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And God looks at him and says, don't call the things that I have made common or unclean, the things that I've cleansed. Three times. Something very interesting here. Something new was happening. How many are just excited about new things?
None.
We like our comfort zone, don't we? So something new is happening, and Peter's going to make sure he doesn't make a mistake. I'm not eating anything common or unclean. And God says three times, I believe, if you look in there, this thing happened three times, that the sheet came down anyway. Don't call what I've cleansed common or unclean. About that time, somebody's knocking on the door, the men are arriving, and the Holy Spirit spoke directly to Peter and says, go with them not doubting. There's something here that is so important. There's a couple things here. Don't let a time arise when the people who are spiritually lost are more excited about finding Jesus than we are willing to go. I don't care if it's new. I don't care if it's not, if it's somebody you had never thought about going to or you're even afraid of. I understand what the law said, that it wasn't right, and Peter enunciates on that when he comes to a place and says, you know, it's not right that I should be here. It's not right that I should be here. But God spoke to me, and that which is unclean, that he's cleansed, don't call unclean. As God continues a breakthrough in Sisseton, South Dakota, and it's been continued for a purpose. There's things happening here. We're working on getting together with the assemblies for a night of worship and doing some things with other churches. It's just simply amazing. Don't look at things through your eyes. It's not my message, but it's a message from God today. Look through things through his eyes. See this community as a mission field. See every church in town that's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ as vital to this area. We're not in this alone. We can't win this town alone. We can't win this state alone. Across this nation, God is raising up churches and leaders, evangelists and pastors to do a work in his name that only he can do. And you're part of it. Can you imagine if three or four pastors in this town are trying to reach the town? But can you imagine if 1,000 people in this town are trying to reach the town? Or 500 people? Don't be convinced to share the gospel. Already be convinced. Don't let someone have to talk you into God or the Holy Spirit. You know enough, you are enough with Jesus Christ to go any place and share the gospel of Jesus Christ because he's with you. Amen. It's amazing. I heard again this week as I watched the video, Father of Lights, about Ravi going, not Ravi we know, but still was in India, I believe, going to the witch doctor's place. The witch doctor had put a curse on two ministers, or minister and his wife, and they found him dead in the yard. Now, I don't know what kind of pastors they were or what they were, but they were dead. And Ravi took this man with him, and I think the man was in fear and trembling. He went to the witch doctor's house. And the witch doctor wouldn't come out. So he prayed outside the building. He prayed around the building. They haven't seen the witch doctor since. He left. And his wife said, "We don't have the powers. There's no power anymore. People were afraid of him." We need to remember that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We need to live like it. We need to walk like it. We need to act like it. I don't care if somebody's praying against me. They probably should be if they're a Satanist. Another thing, I believe it's vital to this message, is that when Peter went to Cornelius' house, Cornelius called his relatives, his family, and his close friends. He got the people together. And they heard the gospel message of forgiveness of sins through Christ, of Christ's death and resurrection. Look at me, folks. Please look at me. There is no one, say no one,
no one,
getting to heaven who does not believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and that he's the only way for the remission of sins. Amen. It's not going to happen. You can say, "Pastor, you're dogmatic, you're old-fashioned, you're not politically correct." I'm all of that. I confess, you don't have to tell anybody. The Bible says this is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Never back down from that. When we start backing down and making excuses and thinking there's another way, we do Satan's work for him. Peter looks at Cornelius and his family and says, "How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil." Can I tell you something? You can't counsel a demon. You can't go to some therapist and get a demon removed. And a lot of our depression and a lot of our mental illnesses and a lot of things we're going through are caused by demons. And the one that the demons don't want to know about is Jesus Christ. Amen. While he was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as they did on the day of Pentecost. Kind of interesting. Doesn't say they all prayed a sinner's prayer and accepted Christ. But I believe they were so open to the gospel as the gospel was being preached to them, they responded to it. And the Holy Spirit fell upon them and they were baptized. What a day. Now, what about us? Is this church, this body of Christ, ready for what God really wants to do? And I'm not just talking about miracles. Although salvation is a miracle, I'm talking about people driving by. Their car turns in here automatically. They may come in here drunk. They may come in here on drugs. They may come in here all kinds of different things. Are you ready for that? A few years ago, Lowell and I were preaching up in Virginia, Minnesota. Lowell did a Sunday night. I did Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I told him he was John the Baptist, just kind of preparing the way. And we're preaching one night, and all of a sudden this car comes around the corner, turns in walked this couple. Never saw them before, didn't know them. And they said, we got to that stoplight out there, basically, and the car just turned, and we had to come to the revival. We had to walk in the tent on Monday night, and there God met them. There are things that God's going to do in your life and through your ministry and through the things God has called you to that's going to shake this town. Because it's not just Pastor or Kirk or somebody else going out praying for people. You're going to pick up that vision. You're going to stand and you're going to see the hand of God move because of your faithfulness and commitment and your obedience to the King of Kings. Can you say amen? Are you ready? I feel like a coach getting his team ready. Or a referee that wants to ruin everything. You take your pick. God has designed your life, planned it out. And whatever you do, don't allow the enemy to take that plan. And you become so introverted that you're not going to stand. Take the stand. Do what God has called you to do. You may look at me and say, what has God called me to do? He says, you will be witnesses unto me. Just like Peter, go in the house of Cornelius. You're a witness unto me. Heal the sick, raise the dead. Cleanse a leper, cast out demons. You got that power. You got that authority. You have that within you. You got it. Now she wants to play a game. She's wearing the right color, though. And so God has orchestrated something for Sisseton, for your community, for people around you. And it comes to a place of what are we going to do about it? I'm going to check this to see if I left out anything important. We need leaders in this country that God changes their worldview. We need leaders in the church that God changes their worldview. And if you have a worldview adopted by some political party, bring your worldview into God's worldview. And as we start looking at things in our life as God looks at them, look at people as God sees them. No matter how they're living, what they're doing, what's going on, who would have thought? Now put this in perspective. Who would have thought a man riding off the train, jumping off the train to commit suicide, ends up being one of the country's leading pastors? What was that man called in the orange robe? He had many, many, many people underneath him. But he was waiting for someone to come and tell him about God. And God gave this man a vision that this was the man that was going to teach him about Jesus. And so there he is, decked out in orange. I think it was Ravi, wasn't it? Ravi comes to him, looks all over the area for him, finds him on the steps of a mosque or close to that. There he tells him about Jesus, and the guy looks at him and says, God gave me a vision. You were in the vision. And you told me about Jesus. So this man went back to his groups and led them to Christ. Really? God can do that? Why not? You see, the one thing, and I'm done. God has given to you the ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What that means, it doesn't matter what the person's sins are, you have been called and I have been called to bring people to Jesus and see them reconciled to God. And not holding their sins against them. Not holding their sins against them. That's the call from God. God has reconciled us to Him through Christ, and now He wants us to reconcile the world to Him through Christ. Are you ready? I know faith is spelled R-I-S-K. I understand that. Well, but we have been called by God to touch this world. And yeah, and you'll have signs and wonders and miracles. I don't have no doubt about it. I have no doubt about it. Understand, we're not the ones that saves them. We're not the ones that heals them. We're not the one that delivers them. God is. But He's using us to do it.